This is Dan Jurgens.
Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Wade, writer of Superman Birthright.
And you're listening to
the All Things Kryptonian podcast, including Superman and Supergirl.
We discuss games, movies, cartoons, TV shows, and comics.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
Welcome to the Krypton Report, episode 222. I am Tyler, the man of tomorrow, the Superman of blue, and with me is the man of muscle, the Superman of red, the man of steel, Mr. James Cole. Welcome, James.
Hey, Tyler. How's it going tonight?
Oh, you know, kids are crazy. It's life, but it's going good.
Yeah. Well, yesterday we had the Snyder Cut release, so...
Yep, it was a long day, and that's all we're going to say until Sunday when we record again.
Yes. But we do have something on our plate before, and unfortunately life got in the way and actually pushed us farther to recording this than normal.
Yeah, stupid life. But
yeah. Pushing us till after the Snyder Cut. That's kind of the hard part. Like, that's all we want to talk about. We got to talk about this.
Let's see here.
And I want to talk about this. I do.
I do, too. News-wise, short news. Let's see. We got some casting news for things. We got Eliza Helm has been cast as a young Cat Grant in season 6 of Supergirl. So that means they're going to do some flashback work, which is interesting. They have cast the actress who will be Naomi for the upcoming Naomi series. Her name is Casey Walfall. So that's intriguing.
Well, it's great to hear casting. I don't know either one of them, but it's great to hear casting.
And yeah, I mean, same thing. Like, it's more of just the idea. Same thing with Josh Baer and Claude Knowlton have joined Supergirl season 6 in recurring roles. Baer's character described as being a famous or noted Kryptonian who plays an important role in helping Kara Danvers when she's faced with circumstances beyond her control. Meanwhile, Knowlton will play a mild-mannered alien who's able to assist Supergirl and her allies in their last mission to thank for her tragic his tragic past. And then today they've come out and said that Lena Luthor is going to be a big part of Supergirl's inner circle for season 6. And, you know, it's going to be that all the emotional stuff that Kara's been building up to and has experienced in all these seasons is going to pay off in this season. It's supposed to be a very heavy ride. So, okay.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, it's probably going to be pretty pretty intense then. Very, very emotionally intense for this season, if that's the case, because Supergirl's pretty... pretty straightforward and hard hitting with their subject matter.
Yeah.
it's definitely like the most forward thinking show out of the CWDC, and all of them are forward in some way or another.
Yes, I mean, they all have their own little niche going on.
Exactly.
So let's see here. We got this is pretty bummer. Gotham Knights, the video game, will now not be released till 2022.
Aw. That is disappointing.
I just saw that today, which means will they still release it like on PlayStation 4? Like an Xbox 360, or are they just gonna do a new gen release? Because originally it was supposed to be on both.
And then PS4 and Xbox One, as well as 5 and Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm just wondering, because that means I'll have to buy a freaking PlayStation 5.
I want a Series X, but also I'm not in a big hurry. Just a number, you know, number of months ago, 6-8 months ago, something like that. 8-10 months ago, maybe. I had to buy a new one because my original Xbox One died on me. So I had to buy an Xbox, but it was too far before the launch and everything else. So
it's just, I just don't want to, invest the money and only get like a couple of games right off the bat. You know, there hasn't been enough games. They don't have enough games at launch anymore like they used to. And then let's see. Other news, we got our first look at Eclipso for Stargirl. And he looks trippy, man. He looks like a freaking Lord of the Rings goblin.
Yeah, and I mean, even more. I don't even know what else to describe it. I mean, a friggin' Wizard of Oz, Return to Oz oddity or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's creepy and it's sweet.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do with it.
I'm happy they're still filming that in Atlanta, and I'm hoping they keep the integrity of the show that we got before it just, you know, switch. Do we know if Supergirl's going to, or not Supergirl, if Stargirl's going to be one of those where it'll be streaming, like it'll air on CW, then appear on HBO, or is it just going to be like straight CW and then HBO afterwards?
Right. I have not heard specifically what the case would be. I mean, the production company, the production crew that got started on it was working with a different entity. I don't know if they're like, okay, so now it's working on this, we're going to use one of our own, like our own crew setup, or yeah, if they would like, well, we'll let you guys continue doing what you're doing and, you know, you're just on our side. So I don't know if that what's going to affect if it'll be episode by episode on HBO Max or if we have to wait till the season's over to get it over there.
It'll be interesting, you know?
Kind of suck, though, if we had to wait.
It would. It will. Maybe they'll do something like, I don't know. They're doing interesting things as it is right now, like the Superman and Lois, like with the extended stuff.
Right. Well, you know, it's the thing I appreciate about being able to stream these shows and even these streaming shows when they release them weekly is being able to get more than one viewing on some episodes, if not all episodes, before the next one comes out.
Mm-hmm. So,
so then if it goes up, is it just going to go, would it go onto the CW app?
Yeah.
Streaming app. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or would it be on HBO Max? That's also a thing. Is it CW and it's going to be over on that app and not at HBO Max when it was a DC Universe original and the ones that continued went over to HBO Max? It's kind of confusing over there in house.
Well, we will see, you know, like, and then the last big thing is we learned that Titans season 3 will premiere in July. So
yeah, we my have, birthday month.
So for James's birthday, I'm getting him Titans premiere.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler.
You're welcome, buddy.
Appreciate it. It's a good gift.
You're welcome. I thought you'd like that.
Thank you.
And that's really about all the news I got. You know, we will come back with comics, dear listeners, I promise. We have a couple single issues of Superman to catch up on, as well as continue our discussions on the good old Superman All-Star, which we had not forgotten, but, you know, we just got a lot of news. We've got a lot of things come at us with Superman Lois and then the Snyder released. It's just, you know, it's the here and now, and we will be back to it. So, James, we are going to discuss today Superman and Lois, four, Haywire. Sorry, I was looking at something on my notes here. What did you think about this overall idea of this episode, real quick? What do you think?
I mean, there. Where to start? Overall, I enjoyed the episode. Everybody had stuff to do. I mean, they kind of, I guess maybe because they have a continuation going, they know that they're going to continue the show. They had to give us our weekly trope, you know, to keep coming back to the superhero show. The kids, the brothers together, good. Clark and Lois together, good. It's nice to see General Lane back in this episode. I liked it. It's hard to say going from episode to episode. It's like not trying to rate each one against each other. Just how good each episode is on its own.
My quick,
and I enjoyed it.
My quick critique of this episode is, what do you call it? This is the first episode that feels more like a CW show. It has more of the hints, tropes, and like it's shifting into its groove of like the other CW type. Not that that's a bad thing. I don't want to take it as a negative, but this is the first one that feels like, okay, all right, I see what you're doing here. So that is my quick observation.
Yeah, I can see that overall. I can see that overall. But they are still keeping up some of the quality of the cinematography and overall storytelling elements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see, like you said, the CW-isms coming through, but there's so far still doing well.
Oh yeah, it's still doing great. I'm just saying, like I can see it, like where it's like, oh man, come on.
Well, it's currently the only CW show I'm caught up on, and. Like Flash, I haven't even started. Black Lightning, I haven't even started. And Batwoman, I'm behind, I don't know, 2-3 episodes maybe.
That is the one I've gotten behind on because I was watching it with Jania. And it's one of those, like, sometimes I feel like watching it and sometimes I feel like that's like a chore. Like, it just...
Well, my daughter enjoyed watching it. I had a good time watching it. My daughter enjoyed watching it, so we got to watch it together. So that helped.
You know, that's the important part. You're sharing it with your daughter, and I'm, like I said, I'm watching Batwoman with Jania, like, when we can, you know what I'm saying? Because it's still that Sunday night thing where sometimes we forget, like, oh yeah. Black Lightning's become like my morning show when I'm getting up in the morning, like because it's just me by myself. And I think I'm one episode behind. I think the last one I saw was the big reveal of the casting switch that I didn't know was coming. So, did you know about the big switch?
No. We're still talking about Batwoman?
No, in Black Lightning.
Oh, Black Lightning. I'm sorry. I knew that she wanted to leave the show, but I did not know that there was a casting switch actually coming up.
Yeah, so, spoilers. They basically write this really interesting plot where Jennifer, like, deatomizes, and then when they reassemble her, like, she comes out talking to them in, like, this machine, but she's a different... physically looking person.
Interesting.
Like, and the episode ended where like she comes out, you see her face, and then it cuts everyone looking at her and it just goes to black, and I'm like, okay, so that's how they did that.
Interesting. And like I said, I haven't even started The Flash, but I did see an image scrolling through social media about somebody wearing some kind of weird helmet, and it said this is Ralph or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was weird. Like, I mean, you know, spoiler people, but sorry, life happens. They have an exit strategy of Ralph and Sue show up, and like, so this past episode of The Flash, like I told Jania, is like, if I were to rewatch this, If I was rewatching last season of Flash, which was what, 6 or 7? I can't keep track anymore. It was 6, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
So if I were to watch season 6 and I was binging it, I would watch all of season 6 and then these first 3 episodes. Because this past week's episode of The Flash was really the end of last season. They used the first 3 to really cap that storyline out. And next week's really, I think, where they're going to get going with what this season of Flash really is. So I would just do that because they write a little thing where, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but they basically find a way of writing Ralph out. And I think it was just kind of weird and they could have done better. I really think they could have done better, but let's get back to Superman and Lois. We diverge.
I do want to catch up on The Flash.
The Flash and Superman and Lois are my favorite too. You know, and it's very hard to compare a show that's been running for their 7th season compared to a show that's in its first season. I just think that that's not fair. Like, you know, I think it'd be fun one day, like over like a break or something, where we go back and like watch all the pilot episodes and just kind of discuss like impact and feeling just from the pilot of all the different series, because that's really where you're like, am I in the show? Because I feel like it's very hard to compare. Like, yes, the new show is fresh. Like they, you know, and a show that's been on for 7 or 8 seasons has a little bit more weight to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've done so much and they got to try and keep it new and fresh. And so, yeah, it's you can't really compare the two when it comes down to that.
But those are my shows.
So. Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, Superman and Lois. This is a show I anticipate every week. So after this week, it's going to suck that it's going to be gone until May.
I really hate the hiatus stuff. Like, you kill the momentum. Just like, I feel like even though they stopped Crisis, like at a good point, I feel like you kind of killed the momentum of Crisis by instead of just giving them like a big, powerful week of one episode a night for 5 days. Like, and that's where I feel like you're building this show up, man. People are talking about it. It's trending and you're just going to kill it.
Yeah. I mean, it's there, you know, over they, and for Crisis, I mean, that was over a month.
Yeah.
So, and this is going to be too. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to say that's what they're doing because it's what they're doing again. This year is extenuating circumstances with COVID and the pandemic. But, it's not actually anything new over at the CW.
Oh, well.
We live and we get our shows.
Yep.
Excuse me. Apologies.
Oh, really? We're like exhausted.
So let's get into this episode.
So this episode showed we got fallout in the sense of we didn't really. Okay. This episode proved why Morgan Edge is coming to Smallville. It opens with a really interesting kind of half convoluted of something crashing. They find a person, Morgan Edge, it cuts. And then we learn that this is kind of jumping around a little bit. Morgan Edge wants the mines. They have the big town hall meeting. We learn that it wasn't just Jordan's heat vision mixed with another substance is what caused an injury to one of the football players. And his hand starts vibrating and shakes violently.
Yeah, we have our Jitters episode of Superman and Lois.
Well, I mean, this episode felt like they mixed Jitters with season 9 and the Kandorians of Smallville.
Right.
And I mean, like I said, jumping around because I mean, it just kind of flows that way. But we find out that there's X kryptonite. X, literally X kryptonite is what Morgan Edge calls it. And it's supposed to be able to revive more people. And he's saying this to the blonde who we saw at the end of last week's episode who killed the guard.
Yeah, Lar, she killed the assassin. Tying up loose ends, she killed with the heat vision, and then we get in this episode her punching into a wall, or into the wall of the cave.
Yeah, so
to expose that X kryptonite, which looked like yellow.
Yeah,
it didn't have any effect on her.
So I'm like, okay, that's gonna be interesting.
But it was the heat vision and the explosion,
unless
that did something.
So, I mean, that's where this, like I said, those are where I'm feeling if there's the CW tropes, like, and we have our Freak of the Week, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of our introduction to, yeah, the Freak of the Week. How we're going to continue each week, like, introduce some new villain to take down.
So, what character do you want to talk about first? We'll just kind of go by character. Like, this show has a lot. When you think about the beats, like, I know it's Superman and Lois, but I'm just going to say, like, I would like a little bit more Superman and Lois. Like, we could, you know, I don't care about Kyle and Lana. Okay? I think we should only see them if they interact with Superman and Lois. or their kids. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what they're doing at home. I don't care they have a failed marriage. I don't care that Kyle's making breakfast and pancakes. Okay? I went through all of Smallville without barely seeing Aunt Nell. Okay? Lana don't need no family. So in this, Sarah don't need no family, okay?
Well, Lana is the parent in this one. I mean, she's got the daughter who interacts with the boys. I mean,
look, Sarah is the Lana of this series, okay?
Yeah.
So we don't need her parent.
Yeah, no, her being a mother is more connected, but yeah, the extra time on the failed marriage and stuff. I mean, you know, it does feed the Sarah character, but yeah.
It's like sometimes I didn't
dislike it, but I don't think it's essential.
You know, it's like, you know how you're watching Smallville and you're telling yourself, this is a Superman show, but you know, you're caught in, it's Clark, you know, and then in this we're watching, it's Clark and it's Lois and this, and then we forget that he'll actually put on the costume. Because then all of a sudden, like, you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, the costume. Yeah. All right, buddy.
Right.
So Sam Lane, when he showed up, okay, we'll back it up a moment here. And he's all, you know, this is the one where we had saw in the preview about, like, Lois talks to him about Clark's priorities changing. It's called being a father. Sam brings up a good point about the fact that Clark's absence is being noticed by the criminals. That they drop inner gang's name, that they're more active, that they're starting to move bigger prisoners out from Metropolis because Superman's not there patrolling. And they're moving Kilgrave. Do you remember, like, okay, so I kind of blanked on this villain, like, because when I hear Kilgrave, for some reason I thought, my first thought was, like, the Purple Man from Marvel. And I was like, wait, that's Marvel. And then when they show the actor who's playing Kilgrave, I'm like, That's Parasite from Smallville. That's that creepy guy from Arrow.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's already been in the Arrowverse as somebody, man. Get out of here.
Right. This is true. He is a good actor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen him.
It was nice seeing him. I liked the part he played. Yeah, Kilgrave. First thing I thought of was, yes, the Purple Man. And no, not just any Purple Man. Anytime anybody thinks about Kilgrave, because of the name Kilgrave, especially, I mean, it's from Jessica Jones season one. What was his name? Is that Matthew Tennant?
David Tennant.
David Tennant. Yeah. Who played that character? That's why we think of Kilgrave, because he was such a standout one. I have very, very limited knowledge of Thaddeus Kilgrave.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was like. I was thrown off. I was like, wait a minute. I don't know everything, people. Before everyone starts trying to crucify me, okay? And like, I know a lot. Okay. And I would probably know more if I didn't have a wife who wants to spend time with me. Okay. Because I do devote time to my wife. Okay. There are friends that I know that have way more knowledge and spend a lot more time podcasting. And I'm not sure how their wife hasn't smacked them yet. Or maybe she has. And I just don't know it. You know who Absolutely. You are. I love you, buddy. Hope everything's okay. If you're listening.
Yeah. So I knew the way they emphasized the character, and I know I'd heard the name before, outside of Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, but that's it. A passing name. I've heard a name I've heard. That's all. But, yeah, that was Sam Lane was interesting in this episode. Definitely his priorities.
You know, Clark points out the parallels about them both being drawn to something and like that responsibility. Because you, know,
yeah, what sense is the of word duty that they share?
Because Sam says something about his job, and Clark's like, it's not a job; it's a sense of responsibility.
A calling.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of puts, you know, Sam kind of a little bit more in his place. Like, we are similar, but I am not you. Kind of moment, so.
Yeah. And it's, man, it's at this point, you know, we get Sam Lane, like, if he's not dedicated to Sam Lane's beliefs here, he's got to create a contingency plan. Like, if he doesn't think that his sense of duty and responsibility to being Superman outweighs everything else.
Yeah.
And to being this keeper of the peace, like, and we know that he's got kryptonite.
Yeah, we do. And because at the end, like I said, we're exploring Sam Lane right now. Like, the end, he has that thing where he creates protocol, and he calls it, what, 4311?
Project 7734.
Whatever the hell thing is.
Which is actually something from the comics that Sam Lane had implemented for protecting Earth against aliens. But it was a military thing as opposed to, like, well, I mean, we had the DEO.
Department of Defense.
Yeah, this is Department of Defense. This is, like, yeah, national
security stuff.
I mean, he's a 4-star general. This is highest level.
Mm-hmm. So... let's see. So if we move that Clark, let's go to Clark now. Let's do his. I like seeing Clark, you know, as fun Coach Clark. That was cool. You know, he was out there working things. Because that ties back into Sam Lane finding out that Jordan is playing football. Because he's there. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm here to see Jonathan. Blah, blah. And he's like, why is Jordan? And then Sam immediately thinks Jordan has powers. And he starts with the whole, he shouldn't be doing this, blah, blah, blah. Clark, you know, defends their decision. Part of why Clark is there. And
I really like how Clark and Lois, their priority is their family. You know, and trying to balance the responsibility and the sense of duty that they both have, that they both share in the world, with their responsibilities, their duties as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's an equal balance, and that's something that her father can't deal with.
He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, he's inexperienced.
You know what? Something we didn't talk about, and it ties directly to talking about Clark. Is General Lane. He tells the boys that Clark being Superman, it takes priority above all.
Yes.
That they can't call him, that they can't call their dad, or they can't talk to their dad because he has a higher responsibility, a higher calling.
When their dad is distracted, lives are at risk, which plays into when the football player, who was it a running back? I didn't catch
that. No, position. He's a receiver.
Receiver, okay. You know, is having problems, and we have another person on the team that's picking on him because I guess he's poor. You know, we really don't explore that, but he says some things about, like, you don't have.
You can't afford a hamburger. How can you afford furniture?
Yeah. And we see that in the locker room, or at the party that they're all out after the football game, he's like shaken and everything. And the boys are trying to explore, okay? And then when they're in the locker room, he goes, the receiver goes to the bathroom, and Jonathan goes to explore. And he's trying to get his dad, and his dad comes in, and the dude, you know, Clark says, I got to go, and he leaves. And then, you know, the guy doesn't have his cast on anymore. And then later, when some things are going down where he's really jittering, Jonathan and Jordan go off on their own, and they're like, we can do this. You know, we don't have to call for dad. And Jordan tries to go over there to him, and he gets flung real hard, and then, which leads them to calling Clark. And when Clark arrives, he's like, why didn't you call me sooner? Which then leads them to calling out Sam.
Yeah. Everything's tied together pretty well in this episode. And then Sam being there and Clark, Superman needing to supervise Thaddeus's transport. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't supervising. And because of his son and Tag, who was the receiver in the bathroom, he couldn't leave immediately and he missed out on him. And then he was out searching when he was supposed to be going to the town meeting to talk about his position and about Edge coming into Smallville. And he didn't make it. And that, in turn, you know, upset Lois. But Lois, and it was really good too, because Lois, she's upset, she's angry, she has every right to be, but she also knows that she doesn't because of who he is.
And I like what she says when she's like, I don't mind you missing the family dinners, the date nights, the birthdays.
Anniversaries. Yeah.
But this type of thing. Is when she's counting on him. So I mean, that was pretty. It's pretty impactful.
Yeah, and then she goes out to drink with Lois, or she goes out to drink with Lana,
which
have drinks with her, which was a nice scene between the two.
Right. Like I was like, okay, like it would be kind of interesting to see. This kind of dynamic, because I mean, it's also we don't know the depths of the Clark Lana relationship that they had. Like,
yeah, well, she does. I mean, in this episode, she says that Clark is her oldest friend. They've known each other their entire lives. And see now what helps to impact the Lana home scene, the scene that she kind of has a nice moment with Kyle in the kitchen during breakfast and everything. What's more impactful on the scene is it comes from Lois's perspective. Their talk and the time they had that night really helped Lana feel that, you know, the next morning, look at things differently. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That, so she's, Lois is actually still, she's helping people in her own way.
Well, I mean, we're all over the place tonight, but that's what happened.
Yeah, it's just completely scattered, but that's
everything's actually really interconnected in this episode. So like trying to go beat by beat is, we probably should have went beat by beat maybe, because I feel like that always takes a lot longer. But at the same time, I feel like the way my character works, but we have that.
I don't know. We're all over the place, but we're kind of like stream, you know, going through every,
we're doing
every
both.
Connecting point. You know what I mean? Like we're going through it goes through here, then it connects here, and it goes through here. Like, there's many layers of storytelling in this episode.
There is, because earlier, okay, Morgan Edge finds out that Lana works for him as an employee, and he asks Lana and Kyle to dinner. Now, Kyle is a big Morgan Edge fan, and what I told Jania was, Kyle right now has the verge of being a great character if they don't keep him stereotypical, if he, like, he's all about his town and then realizes he was wrong, like, Morgan Edge isn't helping the town. You know, right now he's just all about what's best for the town, and he has a chance to be a really good character.
I think that when people start to come up missing, and certain things start happening and changing in the town, I think he's going to be on, you know, be more on the side against Edge, questioning at least Edge's involvement, because the things start picking up after Edge has entered.
Mm-hmm. Morgan Edge asks them to dinner. They go to dinner, and Kyle's so busy just kind of like living it up. He doesn't see that Morgan Edge is basically really kind of hitting and making Lana feel very uncomfortable. Because Lana calls it out to him, you know, and Kyle just kind of brushes it off, you know. And that's a scene that, like, it sets up their, shows their dynamic, and it helps pay off better when she's talking with Lois, is what I was getting to.
Yeah. See, the connection I made when they were at dinner was, like Morgan Edge offering her, kind of like another a business proposition. What he was saying kind of sounded like what Maggie Sawyer last episode, I can't remember the mother's name,
yeah, I know,
was saying about how her son disappeared, that he was moving up for another business, a better opportunity or something. To me, it sounded like they reflected one another, and then Morgan Edge's what he says at the end of the episode when they discover the kryptonite. Why don't I have that quote? What he said there mirrored what he said to Lana at the beginning of the episode as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think that is definitely part of it. I think that's going to have some connections moving forward.
So back to Kilgrave, you know, to kind of back it up, because that's kind of where that thread goes. Till we get back to Lois. Now let's go to Lois real quick. So if we go to Lois,
we can go to Kilgrave and then I think go to Lois. What their because that's the last scene, the last interaction with them before the end of the episode. So let's talk about Thaddeus right now.
Okay, you know, he basically gets broken out of the transport. Superman goes. He said he wouldn't babysit, but he would be there if they needed him. And there's, when he gets there, there's like a little device that says, you know, see you later, Big Blue, from Thaddeus. You know, Superman tracks it down and gets into a really pretty intense, like, fight at the park, where Thaddeus hits him with a type of, like, what would you say? Like, it impairs.
I forget exactly what he said. It was some kind of sonic device. Yeah. Like intense sound waves. Kind of think those big things on the Humvees shooting at the Hulk.
Yeah, because like his
from ears, Incredible Hulk.
We actually see what it looks like. you know, like
Superman's ears are like getting red hot,
and he's like on fire, and like he's in pain. And he's down.
I was like, oh man, I was like, that's the worst. That's terrible. That's worse than bleeding from the ears. Like it looks like his inner ears are just like on fire, radiating some kind of massive heat.
You know, and it's in this scene that the boys, it's cut between the boys debating whether or not they should use the device and call their dad. And, you know, he hears it go off. And what I love is he hears his boys in trouble and he just claps his hands hard and sends a shockwave and knocks everybody else out. And then he, you know, says to Sam, Kilgrave's down, come get him. And he takes off to help his boys. And when he gets there, the football players with the jitters, you know, Earl Jenkins, he sweeps down, grabs him, and takes him into space. And he says, the air's thinner up here to help calm you down. And then
he just takes him above the clouds.
And I'm like, that's my Supes, you know, like nonviolent, you know, he calms him down. And then he says, you know, like getting him some help. And you know, and that's what leads to what took you guys so long to call for me? And it what causes Sam Lane, his little issue. So I mean, it all ties very tightly together.
Yeah, you know? And so we get to one of our last scenes, because we discussed Project 7734. Which is like the very end of the episode. One of our last scenes is Jordan lures Lois out to the barn. And of course, you know, she's asking all these questions. You know, what could your dad possibly need my help for out in the barn? And he said, won't you stop being the investigative journalist and just, you know, I don't know, be surprised. And she goes out to the barn and Clark's got all these candles lit and he's dressed up in a suit. He's got a little dinner for them in the barn. And they have, you know, they have a nice moment. Every morning she's the first thing in his head and every night she's the last thing. And that he couldn't do everything he does as Superman and with her father. And for the world and with the boys, if it wasn't for her. So it was very nice. And it goes, you know, this is when General Lane calls in and it's kind of because he's throughout the entire episode. And before Lois goes out to have her drinks, she's like, you are who you are. But with the boys, with her dad in his ear all the time, like, and everything that's going on and him not getting to the vote, she feels low on his priority list.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a really great interaction too, the way they spoke to each other about that.
Cause she says, I'll feel like crap for feeling this way in the morning because I know.
Yeah. She said, which I know I'm going to regret saying, but yeah. At the moment, that's the way she felt. And so, but their interaction was really good. I like the way that they talk to each other, in their marriage. And, they had a really good talk in the barn. And then General Lane called her to give Superman the heads up of something happening. And, a nice little thing there, you know. No, Lois went to the bathroom when she's sitting right there listening. And then Superman goes to do his thing and she blows him a kiss goodbye. It's a really nice scene. I really like their relationship interactions this episode.
I do too.
You know, the contention, the argument, which really wasn't a fight, really wasn't an argument. They were just displeased with each other, but they talked so well. It was really good.
The one scene I was going to mention that we didn't is when Lois confronts Morgan Edge with his blonde Lar security guard in the tunnel. Backing up. Morgan Edge is threatening he won't allow the paper to run Lois Lane's stories because it's a conflict of interest because of her contract where she quit. And he's threatened to sue her. Now, I thought about this. When I worked for Verizon, I had in my employment contract that I could not quit Verizon and go work for another cell phone company selling phones, that they could actually sue me if I did. So, I brought that up to Jania. It would make sense that in those contracts, because they would have had to probably sign new contracts to work at the Daily Planet when Morgan Edge bought it, he would put that in there, that she's now working for another rival paper. That
that's probably somewhat of a standard business practice.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if Verizon, you know, in my sense, trains me on how to sell mobile phones, how they all work, all this stuff, and then I jump ship, take all that knowledge and go work for AT&T. You know, it's like they train me. And AT, right. I just now plug in my knowledge to the AT&T price bracket, you know? Right. And I can talk about how Verizon works compared to AT&T and puff up AT&T. So yeah, it is.
It's probably for salesmen and stuff like that. It's probably just standard. You know what I mean? The people they probably are looking at for that are probably like your high level business managers and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. So I was wondering how long it's going to be, one, till Morgan Edge buys the local paper.
Well, that's a tough thing. Like, you know, she went to the paper to write this, and she was a journalist for another paper, and now she can't even get anything she writes printed currently until they situate the legalities of her contract.
Yep.
So I don't know how they're supposed to afford this farm when he's working as a coach for free.
Yeah, it's just her.
She can't even work.
Here's my thing.
She can't even write.
I like how in Superman Lois, they slipped in why there's debt to the farm because of what Martha did. I like that.
Yeah.
Because I really got tired all the time. Like, even, you know, in Justice League, like, why are they still paying on the farm? And Jania's like, well, they probably got a second mortgage. I'm like, okay, like, I don't know how all that works if you like already like paid off your house or whatever. They had a loan, because how many times did they try to sell the back 40 in Smallville? Okay.
Right. Well, you know, like you think about it, I mean, a family farm, you know, how many generations was it in Man of Steel and Justice League? Like, if that was the house that they bought,
at least
two. That's a 30-year mortgage, you know what I mean?
You know,
should they probably be getting close to paying it off? Yeah.
But they always reference Jonathan's father and the farm and everything. So we know at least two generations of Kents have had that Kent family farm.
Well, and then especially with Smallville, you know. But also, I mean, farms, they have to take out a lot of loans on that super mega expensive equipment.
It's possible
to do the job.
I mean, it's very possible.
Who knows?
But I'm saying they just did a great job of like solidifying why this is what it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. And
I'm just spitballing here.
Oh, you're doing a great job. And I'm just, and to myself, I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Why don't we just have something, something like Clark doesn't need money. Okay. We saw him turn a piece of coal into a diamond. Okay. Clark also has rich friends. Okay. You know, I won't name any individual names, but, I'm pretty sure that if he's like, hey, bro, can I just, you know, get some money and pay this off, Sherman?
Right.
Or through some financial means, like, oh, it's magically paid off from an anonymous donor.
Exactly. I mean, like Superman and Batman, you know, Apocalypse, the animated movie. that graphic novel when he's like, bill me for the, was it $50,000, $500,000 computer or something?
Yeah, he's like,
on a reporter's salary. Like, but Superman didn't seem too worried about that.
Nah, because you know Bruce will just eat it.
Yeah, right.
he's like, you got this, Bruce.
Yeah, it's hidden in the Wayne budget somewhere.
But yeah, that's just one of those things. I'm like, okay, Clark's. I mean, maybe they have some savings. You know, that's what I'm kind of going with right now. Like, they got savings.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they should potentially be in their early 40s here. Late 30s.
I'm saying, you know, late 30s. With you know, establishing that Kryptonians age slower, Tyler can look younger and be older.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was talking to someone on Twitter, like,
could potentially be a 50-year-old man and still look like he's, you know, 28 years old.
I was talking with a person on Twitter. We were joking about how they try to pass Tom Welling off as like 14 in the first season of Smallville, you know, and I'm like, you know, in all reality, it should have been like a 10-year-old playing Clark and saying he's 14 because of the Kryptonian aging process.
Absolutely.
Clark should have been the smallest boy just because he's aging so slow.
Right. Yeah. Considering, yeah, I mean, you think that maybe it's the sun and the radiation in his cells, the way it's metabolized when he's older, that keeps him young, you know, that growing up and going through puberty, he sprouted mm-hmm. by gathering more and more, solar radiation in his cells. But, yeah, no, you say he's supposed to play. He's supposed to be playing a 14, 15-year-old in, I think he's 15 in the first episode, but playing a teenager like that, a freshman in high school, even by the 10th season, you know, he's only supposed to be 25 years old by the 10th season. And at 35, 36 years old, Tom Welling didn't look 25. Mm-hmm. You could see it. Great looking man, you know, even today, but you could see when he did some facial expressions that there was age coming in there.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, so Lois, you know, confronts Morgan Edge in the tunnel. And it's a very great Lois Lane scene. It's also more for us heightened at the fact that we know that the person standing next to Morgan Edge is a Kryptonian-powered assassin. So, yeah, Lois could have been.
I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that unravel.
Lois could have been, you know, dead and buried in the mine.
Yep. Lois Lane disappeared in the Schuster mine, you know, because like she literally tear down a wall and put her in a wall and then just seal it right up.
I like that we're getting a lot of like representation with the Schuster mine. I feel like it's, you know, it was what, Schuster University in Superboy, you know?
And I believe so, yeah.
And then we got Segel as, you know, for Siegel. In Krypton, so I feel like it's getting kind of spaced out, but I think we need a Jerry or like the restaurant they should be at, the diner should be like Jerry's Place or something, you know?
Right. When are they going to bring Krypton to HBO Max? Can you tell me that?
I don't know, but it's on CW Seed for free.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
So that makes it nice for people to catch up, and I just wish HBO Max would just give us like a Krypton made for streaming movie to kind of wrap up the storyline that they left us on.
Yeah. They left us hanging on quite a cliffhanger. I would love to see, and you can't, you know, not every show, number of shows have in the mm-hmm. past, but get picked up by another network And there was another sci-fi show that got picked up by Prime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was about to say, Stargate SG-1 went from HBO to sci-fi years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The first three seasons of Stargate SG-1 was, like, more dark, and my mom had them all and everything, and then it went to sci-fi, and
got your typical sci-fi
budget
90s late aughts or early aughts show. Yeah.
And what do you call it? I think, you know, with the property being what it is, I mean, it's still in the Warner Brothers DC house, that Krypton coming to HBO Max would be pretty sweet, but I just don't want to be one of those people, because I get tired of everyone's like, man, HBO should do this series or Netflix should do this series. And I'm like, everybody wants a streaming service to pick up their show. And I get it. Like, I truly do. I'm just asking for like a 2-hour movie to just wrap up the plot, you know, and it would be a great way to maybe wink at that, you know, Segel is the grandfather of the Jor-El that ties into Superman and Lois, just to bring it on back in, you know, or something, just because you have this great property. And, you know, recently rewatching Man of Steel with Brian, like, he kills me because he's like, so, like, he's ahead of us. Like, he's reading so much comics, but like, as far as like shows go, like, he hasn't finished stuff. And I made the point to him. I said, you know, I don't play video games. I just get to, I watch a lot of stuff. I always have, like, and I didn't mean it as a dig. I'm just saying, like, I don't play video games that much. I'd rather watch a show or a movie and discuss it. And I was talking about how, you know, Krypton, the series, started out as a Man of Steel prequel series, and then they retweaked it. But Krypton, the show, did a great job of showing how you can tie both the imagery and style of the Zack Snyder Krypton with the Krypton we've known from the other films. It was a nice little hybrid of how it all could coexist and kind of work together.
Yeah, other films, other shows, like,
so I think
it was a pretty good amalgamation of so much Superman and Kryptonian mythology from all different mediums.
So I mean, if you had a little bit more budget for like a 2-hour movie on HBO, you could really show Krypton beautifully as being both like the Snyder and the Donner ways. So, that, all that to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been wanting to rewatch Krypton. Like, I just started it again, I think, before DC Universe ended, but there was no chance in hell I could finish.
I think over the summer, I think, you know, we're going to do our Superman the Animated Series watch, but I think at the same time, since we're going to be doing that slowly, I think I'm going to revisit season one of Supergirl and probably Krypton. Because Krypton's only like 20 episodes both seasons, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to do that over the summer, because, and just kind of, you know, how does, I haven't watched Supergirl season one since it aired. I watched it again right after, but, you know, going back to that CBS vibe and see how that was, you know?
Right. One thing I'm not looking forward to, though, is seeing that Red Tornado again.
Oh my god, that was horrible.
that was god awful. that was terrible. Anyways,
I think that pretty much sums up the episode. I will say that I was happy not to have like some sort of crazy emotional outburst from Jordan this week, blaming Clark for everything. That was a nice reprieve. So that he just
didn't, absolutely,
he didn't start, yeah, to become, yeah, a stereotypical just angry teen who doesn't think,
yelling at his parents every day.
I think Jonathan still just demonstrates the strong will of that his parents have instilled in him, of, you know, he's trying to get through everything, he's trying to look out for his brother, but I think that's gonna crack soon. I think he's gonna have some resentment more soon.
I could see it, you know, young, they're still young, his twin brother. I could see it.
You know,
and from what I could tell, and from what we can tell in this show, I don't think that they'll linger on it. You know what I mean? Like, if it begins in one episode, if it's not resolved in that one, it probably will be in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it becomes like a huge point of contention for some reason, and that would kind of be going down the line of what we discussed, that the brothers would face off against one another.
I just think that, you know, that they're kind of, you know, Jordan slipping into fitting in, you know, they didn't move into Smallville and Jonathan immediately become the hometown hero. Jordan did. So now Jonathan's going to, you know, like, he lost his whole life and everything that was going good for him has been taken by his brother.
Yeah. And that was a nice thing coming from Sarah, too, at the party. They're observing Jonathan, and she says that he looks lost, that he doesn't know what to do. And he says he's been popular all his life. He'll be okay. And she says, you know, that's just the thing, like popular kids, when they're no longer popular, they don't know how to function as an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's nice that Jonathan's been looking, he's been looking out for his brother, but now from the other side, because of Sarah, you know, Jordan may not have like come up with that on his own because of his own issues. He's probably looking at himself more than he's observing like his brother. So with her being there, you know, it kind of it between those two, Sarah and Jordan, and then Jonathan, they've got each other's backs.
They're forming a nice little...
And they still do. It's good.
What I hope doesn't happen, and this is just me speculating, is I don't... Teen drama don't bother me when it feels like it's real. It's when it's overly done, I feel like, okay, now we're just like... We're taking it to that level where, like, okay, it's a TV show. Like, I don't feel connected anymore. What I don't want to happen is something along the lines where there's some sort of, like, kiss or something between Sarah and Jonathan. And Jordan sees it and immediately is like, hates them all and turns, and it's a huge big fallout, you know,
like Chloe seeing Lana and Clark kiss in the loft at the end of season 2.
Yeah, but I mean, we knew that was coming because Clark, all he wanted was Lana. But I mean, like a very like sappy, like over dramatized soap opera style, like of everyone.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm like, I don't want that. Like, I want to see brothers that, like, yeah, they fight, but they still take care of each other, and they still have each other. Like, it's about the family being a strong family, and I think part of it is Clark is hope. Okay, like that's the Superman thing. It's like he's supposed to represent hope, and I think that Smallville has lost a lot of its hope, even more so with the death of Martha, and Clark returning is he's. In a way, he should be the beacon, the icon as Clark, not so much Superman now, of bringing Smallville back to the Smallville that it was. And I would like to see him start to get more, like I said last week, about the idea that Clark's heading for this big realization that his Smallville that they live in is not his Smallville. But then he needs to step up and realize that he needs to be active, dig into the community. And I would not – okay, straight up right now – I think it'd be kind of a neat plot that if Clark became like mayor. I know that's usually like a comic book thing for Oliver Queen, but like Clark is the mayor of Smallville. Like that could be something really neat.
Yeah. Hey, there's President Superman.
Why can't there be
Mayor Clark?
I'm
Mayor Kent.
Keep that in the back of your mind when you watch the next episodes and stuff, and just think about it.
So, probably a long shot, but, you know, if it happens, hey.
I mean, I think it'd be just a way of getting him involved in the town.
Yeah, you know? Definitely more community, I think.
I think he needs to be, you know, to get Smallville back to being the good small town it was.
Yeah, I think we get a little bit of that foreshadowing with the Lois saying, you know, the star son of the town, this or that. You know, probably because he left and he had a big journalism career. His name was synonymous with, like, Lois Lane. Pretty big.
What was the – oh, okay. So the one line that, like, Janine and I both kind of looked at each other was weird is Morgan Edge says something about Lois Lane moving to Smallville. You know, like it's so weird. Like, why are you here? You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I looked at Jenny and I were like, maybe because her husband lost his job. She's married to Clark Kent.
Died.
About to say,
they moved into the family house.
Right. And I'm like, the pieces are putting themselves together. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's not like it's some big, like, why is Lois Lane in Smallville? Oh, her husband's from Smallville. He grew up here.
Oh. He has a family house. His mother just died.
And left him the house.
Yeah, like... And he just lost his job.
So I'm like, yeah, that was kind of a really stupid line.
Yeah, I thought that myself. Like, I was like, I can see you're trying to inject that drama of why is he there? You know, why is she there? Yeah, they're trying to force that issue of like she has to be there for some other reason. So because Morgan Edge is there. Mm-hmm. You know, and we know why she's there. And yeah, it's partly because of a secret. I mean, probably mostly because of the secrets involved. But it's not a stretch to see from an outside point of view for nobody who knows those, who doesn't know those secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like,
like, it's very easy to piece together that.
Oh, you, yeah, I'm like, now if there wasn't that, then. There would be, you know, some issues. So, I'm just, you know. But anyways, that was, you know, that's just one of those things I'm like, okay, like, that was a little bit of a stretch here.
That's, you know, that's, I mean, you think that's got to be maybe one of those CW thought things, like, oh, you know, they're there because of this secret. Like, when we know Morgan Edge is there because of something he wants, and it's got to be nefarious. Like that's it. That's drama. Let's inject that drama. It's like, well, it's forcing it. Like, you know, it's exactly that. It's forcing it. You know, uh-huh. It's forcing a dramatic situation when, from the outside perspective of anybody who doesn't know the secret that he's Superman. You know, lost his job, mother just died, left the family home, you know, moved to Smallville, work on the family farm. Like, come on. Like, it doesn't. Yeah, that's not a reach at all.
I want to see if Clark, if he'll like get back into like, what do you call it? If he'll actually start running the farm again.
Right.
So, all right. Anything else? We got it all. Like,
oh no. Good episode. Good episode. Still a good show. You know, little nitpicks here and there. Nothing to be concerned over.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. Like I said, it's just the first episode because of so much of the way it was paced, it felt like, oh, it's on to the CW now.
That was, I like the way you described it early on, though. Yeah, it is the fallout episode. There's the fallout of Superman not being in Metropolis, the fallout of Luther talking to General Lane, General Lane's perspective on why they moved out there, the kids.
I feel like, you know, the past, you know, episodes have all been like set up to this one. This one really kickstarts the subplots more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. They definitely have driven it, steered it well for four episodes. So I'm looking forward to our next episode this coming Tuesday. And see what kind of, I don't know, mid-season, I guess you could say, even though it's like a third of a season, cliffhanger that they'll probably leave us on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those, like, it's going to be interesting because, you know, it's going off, but yet what we get is Supergirl. So it's like we're still getting our Kryptonian fix, but at the same time, it's like I really want at some point there to be some sort of reference of Supergirl and Superman, you know, existing. Like at this point, we're a few episodes in, so some dialogue would not be too much to ask for.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. What I hope within the first few episodes, you know, maybe there's some kind of dialogue like, yeah, Clark, like what? Clark lost his job at the planet and they moved to Smallville. Like, yeah.
So, all right. Well, from us here at Krypton Report, enjoy the listening, enjoy the show, and we will be back soon with talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah.
Look up in the sky.
Look up in the sky.
Look in the sky.